Australians are working less than they were 5 years ago, and there's a growing proportion of women in the workforce. That's according to the latest census data released today, which also shows that women in full-time employment are twice as likely as men to do 15 hours or more of unpaid domestic work. Well, to discuss the latest stats, I spoke to Dr. Liz Allen, who's a demographer from the Australian National University. Dr. Allen, when it comes to domestic duties, are we still seeing the traditional split between men and women?
Unfortunately, we're still seeing women taking the bulk of domestic duties regardless of the hours women put into paid employment. So it's something that we're continually seeing over time. But what becomes increasingly of concern, of course, is that as women enter the workforce more and more so over time and spend a greater amount of time in the workforce, they're still bearing the brunt of household duties and care. And men are still, I guess, stuck in the thinking of our parents, where there's a male breadwinner model for the family. And this census data proves that that's not the case, and that more and more women are taking on paid employment, yet still bearing the brunt of household duties and care.
What about the working week? Are we working less on average across the board?
Working week's an interesting one. So at the moment, the census data points a picture of very little change in terms of the average numbers of hours worked in 2016 versus 2011. And that suggests that men on average are doing 39 hours per week and women 30 hours per week. But that, of course, hides some nuances underneath. I think what's more telling, however, is how our demography is changing the types of employment opportunities, and perhaps then accordingly where we're living and how we're commuting to work. What this census data really points to, an interesting kind of intersection between employment, employment opportunities, education and housing, and how those sorts of policies that work at a federal level and a state and territory level could be better and more effective at maintaining population well-being.
Now, we've also seen some new data on young Australians. It looks like they're on the move across the country.
Young Australians have typically been the proportion of the population that move most often. They might be moving for work, they might be moving house and setting up an independent life, they might be moving for education and so on. And certainly we see this pattern continue, that young people are most mobile. And of course they're likely to be most mobile without the intrusion. For example, someone with children, they're least likely to be able to pick up and move and be adaptive and dynamic in that way. So what's also been reflected there is that an increasing rate of people taking on post-school qualifications. And this, of course, is in response to changing demands of the labour market and the expectations of the labour market for young people. And if we then add to the mix what we know about housing inequality, I think that young people are rightfully in a position now where they should be stamping their feet and saying, listen up, policy. People, pay attention. We're the future, particularly if we look to the leading increase in the occupation is among the community and personal service workers. If we look at that more finely, we can see health professionals in patient care, aged care and childcare are among the largest increase of occupation groups. So we're seeing that young people are being and will ever be more relied on to fulfil the needs of an ageing population, and perhaps not everything is following suit socially to accommodate the needs of young people.
Dr. Liz Allen, a demographer from the Australian National University.